Ooh, you want to play psycho killer? Can I be the helpless victim?
Cross your eyes and scream, man. Scream for your life.
Welcome. I'm your Scream Queen, Jenica Olin. This is my 16th episode, and my theme for February is Till Death Do Us Part, with some love stories worth dying for. If you're new here, each episode will have an intro, brief synopsis of the movie, an analysis of the film, and then I get into the true crime of it all. I'm a huge true crime fan, and I like to make connections between the true horrors that inspire our darkest imaginations. The truth is, the stuff on screen is way tamer than the true horrors that take place every day. Spoiler alert, I've made it my job to spoil the shit out of this movie. Today, I'll be covering Bride of Chucky, 1998, directed by Ronnie Yu, with writer Don Mancini, starring Jennifer Tilly, Brad Dourif, Catherine Hagel, and Nick Stable. Some quick trivia about this movie. The date on Tiffany's newspaper clippings at the beginning of the movie and the death date on Charles Lee Ray's tombstone is November 9th, 1988, the release date of the first Child's Play movie. Bride of Chucky is the most expensive out of the franchise to this date with a budget of $25 million. The death of Jade's uncle is a homage to the first Cenobite, Pinhead. Tiffany dies by electrocution while watching Bride of Frankenstein. The name Charles Lee Ray, the character Brad Dourif plays, comes from three famous killers in history. Lee, after Lee Harvey Oswald, the main, so we've got Charles for Charles Manson. Lee, after Lee Harvey Oswald, and Ray, after James Earl Ray. When the news reports Damien's found body, they show a less than goth, nerdy portrait of him. This is a nod to the shock rocker, Marilyn Manson, and his pre-fame alter ego, Brian Warner. Marilyn Manson was even considered for the role of Damien, as it was written with him in mind. He ultimately turned it down, and they settled on Alexis Arquette. The body count in this movie is 10. The ending line by Tiffany is homage to Bride of Chucky when she says, "We belong dead." Let's set the scene with the synopsis of the movie.
Chucky's back, but this time, there's more to fear. Because this time, he's got a playmate of his own. Bride of Chucky.
White wedding.
Chucky gets lucky.
Barbie, eat your heart out.
Nice day to
Tiffany, a former lover and accomplice of serial killer Charles Lee Ray, acquires Chucky's remains after bribing and later murdering a police officer who removed the dismembered children's doll parts from an evidence locker. Believing Ray's soul to be inhabiting the doll, Tiffany crudely stitches Chucky back together and reenacts the voodoo ritual, which instilled Ray inside the doll a decade ago. Though her chance initially failed to produce results, Chucky unexpectedly springs to life and smothers Tiffany's goth admirer, Damien.
It ain't the size that counts, asshole. It's what you do with it.
Chucky, who is still intent on becoming human again, lays out a plan to retrieve the body-switching amulet Ray was wearing on the night he was killed. The amulet was buried along with his body in a cemetery in Hackensack, New Jersey. Hoping to pick up where she and Ray left off, Tiffany presents Chucky with a diamond ring, which he left for her. Upon realizing that Tiffany believed the gift to be an engagement ring, Chucky bursts out laughing, explaining that he stole it from one of his wealthier victims when he was a notorious serial killer. Heartbroken and enraged, Tiffany punishes Chucky by locking him in a playpen. Inside Tiffany's mobile home, Chucky tries to woo her into freeing him. As a mocking gesture, Tiffany responds by luring a female children's doll clad in a miniature wedding dress into Chucky's playpen. Now irate, Chucky breaks free and surprises Tiffany while she's bathing, dropping a television set into her bathtub and electrocuting her to death. Still dragging the bridal doll, Chucky then recites the familiar voodoo chant, transferring Tiffany's soul into the doll.
A day to we dembella. Give me the power, I beg of you. Mortis melodivico de mervo se. Andre forte quase dembella. Awake! Awake!
Chucky blackmails her by pointing out her only hope for becoming human again is to help him steal the amulet. After Tiffany gives herself a makeover, the killers pretend to be inanimate as Jesse arrives to pick up the dolls. He then goes to rendezvous with Jade, unaware that Chucky and Tiffany are inhabiting the dolls. Midway through the trip, Jane's uncle tracks down the van and starts to inspect it while the couple is away. Annoyed by Kincaid's interference, the killers rig a trap which embeds several nails into the chief's face.
Now!
Then hide his body inside an onboard trunk. Later, Jesse and Jade stop for supplies and attract the notice of a police officer who detects the scent of marijuana. Chucky mistakenly throws the narcotics into view, giving the officer enough cause to detain Jesse. Chucky sneaks over to the officer's squad car, stuffing a wadded-up shirt into the gas tank and lights it on fire, killing the officer in an explosion. Shaken by the prospect that one of them might be a murderer, Jesse and Jade nevertheless stop at a couples-only hotel to get married. At the hotel, Jesse and Jade make an acquaintance of a pair of swingers who pickpocket their money. Tiffany follows the thieves to their private room and tosses a bottle of champagne at the mirrored ceiling above their bed, fatally impaling the couple with shards of glass. After a maid discovers the corpse that next morning, Jesse and Jade are both convinced that the other is a killer. Following another escape, they are surprised to run into their mutual friend and confidant, David, who informs them that they are wanted for multiple murders. Whilst driving, David convinces both to stop accusing each other and patch things up. Upon realizing their misunderstanding, Jesse and Jade resolve their differences. However, David smells a foul odor and uncovers Jade's dead uncle inside the trunk. Concealing his horror, David carefully takes the chief's gun and orders Jesse to pull over, prompting Chucky to reveal himself to everyone. Startled by what he has seen, David unknowingly backs into the path of an oncoming semi-truck.
Nobody move!
That works too.
Get this heap of shit moving! Now! Now! Now!
A radio announcement informs Chucky the fingerprints found at the scene have been identified as those of Charles Lee Ray, and that authorities plan to exhume his body as part of the investigation. With the van now under suspicion, the dolls transfer their quarry into a stolen recreational vehicle. Jesse is forced to be the driver while Tiffany gives Jade a makeover, getting her ready for when they transfer bodies. As the group nears the Hackensack Cemetery, Jesse quips to Chucky that Tiffany isn't much of a homemaker due to the fact that there are several dishes in the sink. In response, Chucky orders Tiffany to clean up a little. Jade, taking her lead from Jesse, confides to Tiffany, "You were nice enough to cook for him. The least he can do is wash a dish," igniting a loud, violent argument between the dolls.
What are you doing? What would Martha Stewart say?
Fuck Martha Stewart! Martha Stewart can kiss my shiny plastic butt!
In the confusion, Jesse intentionally swerves off the road and crashes, while Tiffany is knocked onto the oven by Jade. Still tied to a chair, Jade lays trapped and sees that Tiffany is still alive, though badly charred. Jesse cuts Jade free and pulls her out of the RV before sparking wiring causes the vehicle to explode. Jesse is blown clear, but Jade is taken hostage by Chucky. Chucky approaches his open grave site, shoots the grave digger, exhuming his body in the back of the head, and sends Jade in to open his coffin at gunpoint. She reluctantly retrieves the amulet and throws it to him. But Jesse reappears, dragging Tiffany by her hair. Chucky agrees to let Jade go in exchange for Tiffany. When the couples reunite, Chucky ties the teenagers together and starts to perform the ritual. Touched by Jesse and Jade's love for each other and seeing Chucky's disgust by her disfigurement, Tiffany betrays Chucky by stabbing him in the back, quoting from Bride of Frankenstein, "Oh, Chucky, look at us. Don't you see? We belong dead." Tiffany releases the teenagers and their bonds, but Chucky retaliates by attacking Tiffany with a shovel. Chucky gets the upper hand, stabbing Tiffany in the chest. However, Jesse retrieves the shovel and knocks Chucky into his own grave, trapping him in the 6-foot pit.
Drop the gun! Drop it!
Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! Get
him! As Chucky screams and curses, a police lieutenant who has been pursuing the suspicious teens arrives and witnesses the living doll. Jade takes the detective's gun and aims at Chucky, who promises to one day return just like in every sequel of the film series. But dying is such a bitch. Chucky is shot to death, his lifeless body collapsing next to his former human shell. In the aftermath of what he has just witnessed, the lieutenant radios to report Jade and Jesse are innocent and allows them to run away together. Before the rest of the police unit can arrive, the lieutenant discovers Tiffany's body. After poking her a few times, the charred doll springs to life. The lieutenant screams in horror as the screeching, sharp-toothed baby emerges from beneath Tiffany's dress and attacks him. Hi, so I'm here today with Lance from Slashers Podcast. And we are going to be talking about Bride of Chucky. I'm trying to figure out which bride it is because I've been covering so many brides this month.
Nice.
So is there anything you want to tell the audience before we start?
Let's see. I'm on my own podcast as well, from Slashers. We do our things, drops on usually Mondays. Other than that, I'm also in a band called Caustic Bats. Mm-hmm. We haven't played too much this year because we've been trying to finish off this record that's been taking a little longer than it should. Other than that, doing band stuff, running around, going to markets, trying to support our horror brethren, as I like to say, over at Atomic and your night over at Conduit.
Mm-hmm.
Just fun things like that. I try to get out to that, but unfortunately you have it on a day that is a little rough for me the next day, so it's hard to go drink the night and do lots of awesome trivia with you guys out there, and then get to work at like 10 in the morning. That's early for me. I know that doesn't sound early for most people, but
as a former teacher, that is not early. But yeah, no. The wife of someone who works in the music industry, it is early.
It really is. But technically I have to wake up at 9 to get up at 10. Like, I have to have that physical.
Yeah, that's earlier than he wakes up. He wakes up at like noon and he's like, why? He's like, you hate watching a man sleep. That's his like favorite thing to say to me when I try to wake him up. He's like, women just hate watching a man sleep. I'm like, it's fucking 12 in the afternoon. Wake up. Yeah. Bride of Chucky is very much like leeching off of the Scream franchise when it came out. So even the cover art where you've got Tiffany and Chucky next to each other, it looks like they basically copy and pasted the cover art for one of the Scream movies.
Yeah.
Don't know which Scream movie it was, but one of their covers.
Yeah, because their VHS covers for Scream, there's ones where they had like all the characters, all the all the ladies for all purposes, and a couple of the guys, I think. But I mean, and then think about it too. It honestly, Scream saved horror because it was kind of a floundering genre until Scream came along. But also, weirdly enough, Bride of Chucky legitimately saved Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, I mean, so it's ironically that you say, I mean, you know that they basically pretty much captured the same likeness video wise or the poster, you know. So I mean, yeah, good for them. I mean, I appreciate it. I love anything that like saves anything in horror.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, the first three Chuckies are more serious. And then as they progress, like the third one, it gets a little bit more campy, like some jokes in there, a little more playful, but still it has a serious tone to it. Bride of Chucky takes it completely meta within the horror like sphere.
Yeah.
And they start referencing all kinds of other horror movies. I have like a whole thing, like there's the kill where, well, like not the first kill, but the first kill for Chucky when he his head turns around. So that was obviously Poltergeist, or not, no, erase that. I did not say that. It's Exorcist.
After you.
it's a homage to the Exorcist.
No, you know what's funny about that, because like Aide does something like randomly here and there, and she's like, don't come after me, motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, I'll just cut it out, they won't ever know.
No, nice.
I won't know. So some other homages are like the when Chucky, when they kill the uncle, the police officer or whatever he is.
John Ritter. Yeah. John Ritter, which is crazy because John Ritter is such a comedic thing. I mean, he's from like Problem Child and Three's Company from if you're going way, way, way back. And the fact to see him in kind of like a non-traditional role for him. You know what I mean? And be like a serious, like he's a piece of shit kind of cop and like hates his I guess she's his niece technically in the but it's insane. It's such a weird vibe. So, RIP John Ritter, by the way, because he has passed away. The first kill I guess Chucky does when he's finally out is connected to Scream technically, because it's a sibling from the Arquettes.
Oh
yeah, did you not know that?
No.
Yeah. They ended up transing to a woman. I forget their actual name afterwards.
Yeah, we can't dead name. No dead naming.
Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't going to dead name.
No, I'm just,
Oh, like in general? Yeah, because they actually are dead in general.
Oh.
Yeah. They passed away. Yeah.
It's like another connection. It's just like the whole meta within the horror genre and all. And I've been covering like all the Frankenstein type movies. So I did like Bride of Frankenstein, Bride of Reanimator, Frankenhooker, and then I'm now doing Bride of Chucky, and there's a lot of Bride of Frankenstein references in this movie as well. like when she gets electrocuted.
Oh yeah, they're watching the movie.
Literally. And she's literally watching Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And then there's Chucky looking like Frankenstein. He's all sewed together. His pieces had to be put back together. Oh, so, you know, it's very Frankenstein.
It's definitely the meta part of it, because kind of the weird part is like, you're made for me type deal. So like Chucky made a bride made for him, because she wanted to marry him, and he made fun of the whole thing. But it is kind of funny. Like, it's definitely like the crossroads. Like, you're 100% right about that.
Yeah. But even in the end, the final, like, I don't know if it's the final thing that Tiffany says to Chucky, but she says, we belong dead, which is what Frankenstein says before he like pulls the lever in the castle. So there are just so many references. My question for you, because this is such a meta film when it comes to the horror genre, there were even like in the locker room, the do you know what I'm going to say? What was in the locker room? There was like in the beginning of the movie when the evidence locker room. They have like all these items.
Yeah. I mean, they went down like the pipe with Jason, Freddy. Like every trope of your slasher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, honestly, that movie brought Chucky back into the fold of one of the icons of all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you're Michael Myers, you're Freddy, you're Voorhees or Jason. God, who else? I mean, like, it was a little Murder's Row of like, haha, we are a part of this group, you know?
Yeah. There was even like a chainsaw in there that could have been like from Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah. But I mean, that's other one too. Cause I mean, those are the icon ones. I mean, I'm literally looking at a Michael Myers thing in my room here, or my other room. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, Chucky is now a part of that group. Like, he's had so many movies and he's been in such a great franchise.
Yeah.
Even the TV series was really good. You know, like,
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yeah. I was a little hesitant because, you know, it's a TV series. You're thinking, all right, how brutal could it be? Da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
No. One of the first scenes of something that happens was insane. I don't want to give it away because it was really good. It's a good kill scene. I was really shocked. It was really cool.
Another thing that I found really interesting that Tiffany says to Chucky when they're in the van, when like before they kill the uncle with the nails, he's going to take out his knife. Yeah. Oh yeah. Kill because he doesn't. Yeah. He has to. Yeah. He comes back later on and they have to finish him off.
Which is insane. I think even they looked shocked. Like, they're like, holy shit, he's still alive.
Yeah. Because he's been in that thing for like at least a day.
And there's a lot of blood. Like,
yeah.
What were you doing? Just unconscious? Like, that might be the one part of the movie that's a little, and it's weird saying far-fetched because we're talking about dolls.
Yeah.
They're alive and animated. But
they're going to get an amulet so that they can switch bodies with this other couple. So I don't know if logic is really the best, you know.
I did think it was cool that they finally kind of went back to the zombie-esque type of, you know, voodoo.
Yeah, she has like the Voodoo for Dummies book. Yeah. And actually the page number that she goes to, which I can't remember the number, but it's also the number, I think, of the room from The Shining.
Really? Oh, see, I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
There's, awesome. It's like, I don't want to say the number off the top of my head because I don't remember, but I know that they're the same number. Because I watched like a video of someone else like uncovering all the like little tidbits that you might have missed out, which like I would have never noticed if I didn't watch this guy's video. And I should probably like link it so people can watch that later.
Yeah. Make sure you give him credit for the acknowledgement of it.
Yeah, because he, without him, I wouldn't know that was actually a connection. When Tiffany is talking to Chucky, she tells him, because he's about to get the knife out, and she tells him she's like, that's so predictable. That's so lame. Like,
She
says like something about like slashers, like that's so boring, unoriginal. And that's when they go get the nails. But I thought it was a really interesting commentary on like slashers were kind of, we were moving away from them at that time. And the kills were getting very different or like more, I don't know.
I think, I mean, the thing about it was, is things were getting repetitive. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting the same kills, but in a different movie, you know what I mean? It's like, cool, I've seen the machete. Cool. I've seen, you know, mm-hmm. the slit throat. I've seen this and that. Like, I think nowadays the whole, slow stab in the faces because things are so much better with CGI and natural effects now and prosthetics and stuff like that. I think they're going to these areas where, you know, it's pretty rad, but at the same time now we're getting into that weird little pocket where, okay, we get it, we know you can do that, like something a little bit different, you know, like pull the face, the skin on someone's face and let's talk about it or whatever. But back then, prosthetics and stuff like that, like you had to do a really quick thing, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, I gotta be quick with it. Now they're like, oh, we can totally do it slow and make it look real. And now they're doing a little bit too much of that. So I'm like, let's get a nice intermediate, please. But yeah.
Yeah. I like my horror to be a little bit campy. I don't like it to be too realistic because I will watch people get killed every single day, like on screen. But, and one thing that really freaks me out is my husband will watch like doom scroll at night. And there will be videos coming up of people getting hurt, like legit people getting hurt. Like trying to do a trick, they fall, they're on a motorcycle or something that happens. I'm like, I can't watch that. That person could have died. Like that person really got hurt. Like I freak out and I'm like, turn it off right now.
I can watch a good amount of them, but that's only probably because I used to skateboard when I was younger. So like, I'm kind of used to that. Like, I mean, kind of like the skateboard rule back in the day was like, you ask if they're okay. And the second they say yay, you just laugh completely hard at it. You know what I mean? I don't think they show things that somebody could actually have died from. I don't know if that's, you're allowed to do that.
They have.
Have they? Oh, well, I don't know. So maybe.
But they don't show the death. Let's get into these themes. So I have toxic love and obsession in here as a theme. It's just like she's very obsessed with him. Even like the beginning, whenever you go to her trailer, you can see that she's got all these clippings of the like articles about him and things like that. Just obviously never got over him. It was like what, a decade since they had been together?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Been insane like that, actually.
Yeah.
It's like
10 years. Like, get over it. No. It's funny, like their relationship. Like whenever she gets so angry at him and then she, you know, she puts him in the pin, the playpen, like he's a baby.
Yeah.
And she's getting revenge on him. It's really funny how she's getting revenge on him. She like puts the doll in there. She does all this stuff. Like she's teasing, she's fucking with him and he's this murderous guy. And she's just like, she's not scared of him. It's really funny, but it's very reminiscent of like, an actual abusive relationship and how that dynamic would play out.
100%. Well, I mean, I don't even know if it would play out that well. I mean, no, let's be honest. I mean, you're lucky in a situation where it is a doll. He is made out of plastic. Outside of the fact that he's a very dangerous plastic little child, you know what I mean? It's still a doll. You know what I mean? Like, take away physical knives out of that doll's hand, still a doll.
Yeah.
You know, keep you down with one foot because you're not that strong, you know, or maybe he is, I don't know, who knows, but like
I don't know, he must have that actually. So the one kill with Tiffany's like love interest, when he like turns his head around and then he pulls out his lip ring, but then he suffocates him with a pillow, and I was just thinking like, Is he strong enough to suffocate him?
Is his whole body even worthy of that? Because it's like you're like, you're kind of like, you just got killed basically like by a cockroach. Keep you down with one foot because you're not that strong, you know? Or maybe he is, I don't know. Who knows? But like,
I don't know. He must have that actually. So the one kill with Tiffany's like love interest, when he like turns his head around and then he pulls out his lip ring, but then he suffocates him with a pillow. And I was just thinking, like, is he strong enough to suffocate him?
Is his whole body even worthy of that? Because it's like you're like, you're kind of like, you just got killed basically like by a cockroach. Keep you down with one foot because you're not that strong.
So Jesse and Jay talking about toxic love, their relationship. Okay. Jesse and Jade get married as like, I saw their marriage as like a bluff. They're like looking at each other. They think the other one's a killer. And they're like, well, you know, let's see who's going to back out of this. Or like, it's so awkward. Like their whole wedding was so awkward. And you could tell they both were like looking at each other like, they're like, are we really going to go through this? Is this person really going to do it?
Well, I mean, you got that, and you got the fact that, like, am I going to about to marry a serial killer? Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, if they both honestly think that, which is weird because you would think you know each other well enough that you would know that you're not a serial killer. Mm-hmm. So I think that is weirdly another jest, maybe a stab at literally Scream. You know what I mean? It's like, because here you are, you know each other could be serial killers, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But you're willing to marry each other because, yeah, because we're not the smartest people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Love a winner. Well, I felt like it was like, I don't know, they were trying to see who was the liar.
Yeah.
But you don't marry someone to see who the liar is and which one of you is the serial killer.
I mean, do you though? I mean, in this, I feel like, yeah, why not? Let's go for it. I mean, yeah, yeah. I think the friend that comes by, like, that friend could have gotten away so easily. he so didn't.
Yeah. And then how he died, how he got hit by the truck was very brutal. It was like very Final Destination before Final Destination. Another theme in Bride of Chucky is like the gender dynamics. So we've got Tiffany, who, you know, she loves Martha Stewart. She's always quoting Martha Stewart and talking about Martha Stewart. And then she has her quote about how, if my mother always said, if you cooked, then the man can at least do the dishes.
This is where when they're in the Winnebago and two kids kind of basically try to use their toxicity. against them so they can try to escape the situation they're in, and which is funny because I think Tiffany says that earlier on, and then Jade uses it as a moment to attack the situation of he's not doing anything, he's bitching about the food, you know what I mean, but he can help you clean it, which is, I mean, throughout the movie, honestly, it is a dynamic of women and men or couples in general, not even to specify just, like any sex to that. Like, it's just couples in general where we all go through that, like, no matter what it is. And to use every trope in that catalog is like kind of funny. I mean, like you said, I mean, lots of toxic red flags, you know. But yeah, which probably is the reason why Aid and, and Mikey love this song or this movie so much.
So that whole argument scene, that whole like domestic fight that they have in the van or Winnebago, it is really funny how Jesse and Jade both start manipulating them. They notice they've got these like cracks within their relationship. And Tiffany is finally like getting excited playing homemaker, and then Yeah, then they start like poking the bear and they're like, what does Jesse say to Chucky? He's like, oh, she's, you know, a good cook, but she's not like such a great housekeeper or something. Something like that.
Yeah.
And so then, and then, you know, they go over to Tiffany and Tiffany and Jade's like, are you gonna let him like talk to you like that, basically? I don't know her exact words, but basically like, you're gonna let him talk to you like that? Like, he's not gonna help you, you're doing all this. And so they're, you know, definitely poking the bear. But I love how she like throws the plate at him.
Yeah, so,
that's a good scene. I've definitely seen people throw plates at each other in relationships. Not good.
Oh wow.
Not a good thing.
Yeah,
hopefully
no,
I've never seen a relationship like this, but I have literally, I know, like, I have family members that have this dynamic, and I'm so glad they're not together anymore. But
yeah, I can't imagine that. You know, I mean, I've always been one of those things is, if it's that bad, don't be with that person. I know it's easier said than done because people get accustomed to being with people, and like, and especially when it's with somebody who at one point at least got you so well that like you could finish each other's sentences and stuff like that, but then there's that weird divide happens. But like, yeah, that's just not healthy. Like,
no,
you know,
no, it's not healthy. I feel like, I mean, at least with the people that I knew, they had kids, so it was a little more complicated. But then you're also like dragging your kids into this really bad situation.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good. And then we've got revenge, which I found it was interesting how Chucky and Tiffany wanted to get revenge on anyone who fucked with Jesse and Jade. So the police officer that was trying to get them, like, there were practical reasons. Like, if they had been stopped, if they had been taken to jail, then they, you know, they would never get to the cemetery in New Jersey. It was in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So they would have never gotten there if that police officer got what the way he, you know, his way. But then there's also, on top of that, there was the hotel after they got married, and that couple that like comes in, and
they're the best kill scenes, by the way.
Huh?
Probably one of the best kill scenes.
But it was also really ridiculous, but in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, if ridiculous wise in a kill scene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And especially the way the shards of glass look. See, that's when a CGI has worked.
Yes.
Well, like, and doesn't look campy in the sense of cheesy, or like, not choosy, you know what I mean? Like you were saying, but like, that, and then when, like, when the maid comes in the next day, you know what I mean? And also the cheesiness of a love hotel, you know what I mean? The motel hotel love thing. So like, it's campy in that way too. But like, yeah, I also very on the verge of like a porn type of thing going on.
Yeah, it was they were, well, okay, so I like the fact that it was on a waterbed. That really added to the kill, because when all the shards of glass come down, then it's also, you know, the blood and the water all like go out together, which is nice.
Very Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean,
yeah.
Weirdly enough, I think you have the bed scene in the first one with Johnny Depp initially, but then there's the second one. Now, I'm not a big fan of the second one. Everybody gives me shit. Mikey likes to make it seem like I don't like gay people for some reason, because like, it's supposed to have the gay orientation to it. It's not that. I just don't like the idea of Freddy getting out into the real world. I just thought that was kind of like, I didn't like it. But I think there's a waterbed scene in that movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I haven't watched that one in a while. I'll have to rewatch it. I don't remember.
I think for all purposes, it's considered one of the ones that not many people care for.
But that stupid fucking couple comes in and tries to steal from them. Yeah. And Tiffany say she's like, that bitch? Or
yeah.
And then
would you consider Tiffany and Chucky kind of like parents, or more like older brothers and sisters, because I always like it ranges between the two, you know what I mean? Like almost protection. And yet, because like obviously protection in the sense they're trying to make sure their ride gets to point A to point B without an incident. But at the same time, it kind of comes off as like protective, you know, like literally like an older brother, older sister type deal. Like, oh, these kids, they don't get it, or whatever it is.
Well, I think Tiffany is protective of Jesse. I think that she really did care about Jesse before she was turned into a doll.
She probably wanted to bang him, I think.
She was definitely coming on to him. I'm so glad he didn't take the bait. Because I was like, is she trying to kill him? But he was strong. He was able to get that dead body in that trunk.
He was a good looking dude. It was kind of funny that, especially that trunk scene too. It's like he was struggling. He's like, Jesus, I can't get this up. What is in here?
It was, because it's like a dead person. Like, that's dead body weight. Like, that thing had to be at least 200 pounds, like 180, 200 pounds.
I mean, he looks like he could have, like, I mean, again, he looked very well.
Oh, you know what? That guy was a twink.
He really was, but I didn't want to say it. Sorry. It was great, though.
So he was really, you know, it was 140 pounds.
He was gothy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was the idea. And then, did you love the scene, though, previous to that? I mean, you think about it where he's trying to, like, say he killed somebody, but she, like, realizes it's his own fingernails.
Yeah. Didn't he have, like, pizza on his face? Wasn't it pizza on his face?
It basically looked like a bad Hannibal Lecter moment.
Yeah, so but that's almost a reference to, like, that is kind of a reference to the other previous Chucky movies, because I think it's Chucky 3 that his face, he has, like, the pizza face where his face gets burnt off. The other theme I have in here is, like, the dark side of romance, which is also, it's just, like, a different way of talking about it. Like, there's a lot of love in the movie, but it's, you know, it shows how passionate love can turn deadly when driven by obsession and unhealthy desires. But not just in Chucky, but also with Jesse and Jade. They become very unhealthy for each other. And honestly, I don't know if their relationship survived all of that.
Yeah, I don't think you ever revisit those two characters, honestly, because if I'm thinking about it, like, I think this might be one of those times where, like, you don't revisit them. Because, I mean, previous to this, you revisit Andy all the time. This is when they actually finally break away, where they use a whole voodoo scenario and then just bring him back, you know. That has nothing to do with about Andy. Now it all has about him just putting his body into another body, you know. So that's probably the first time for that as well. So then it's kind of crazy, because then you take away the thing where now you don't have to worry about it. All he has to do is, you know, get the charm and then put his body into whoever.
Yeah,
you know,
I think Tiffany and Chucky as a relationship, it would end up, I mean, they end up killing each other at the end, right? So it's like one of those relationships where it's like, you need to either get out of that relationship or you're going to end up killing each other. You've heard that saying a million times, right?
100%. I mean, it's you guys are both not good for each other. You know what I mean? Like, I've literally said that to somebody and heard it from somebody. You know what I mean? Where, like, you're kind of like,
yeah.
And then you have to, like, reassess your dynamics with that person. And that's the weird part about it. Like, because I think even with Jesse and Jade, they have to reassess, hey, are they murderers? Should I was in love with this person. I found this person quite attractive and all the things I want in a person. But now that we've thrown this wrench of they might be a murderer, should I still be with this person? Should I reassess how I'm doing this with this person? And then the same thing with Chucky where he didn't want to get married and he thought Tiffany is insane. But at the same time, he starts reassessing, well, shit, I'm a doll. She's a doll. What are the chances I'm going to ever, you know what I mean? Like, there's two spectrums going both different ways. One was going, I'm in love. Oh no, you might be a serial killer. To want to get married. Oh wait, we're serial killers.
Yeah.
We're killing each other. So, I mean, you just watch the spectrum of people passing each other off on a different way of the same problem almost.
Yeah. That actually, that's funny that you mentioned the, like Tiffany wanting to get married. And at first, like when she said she found the ring, he's like, that wasn't for you. Like that was like worth $5,000. But then after they kill that other couple with the waterbed, with the glass, she has like a wedding ring on, and I guess the finger was already severed, but he takes the wedding ring off and gives it to Tiffany. He like proposes to her. And then that's when they like consummate their relationship, however a doll does that. And then the fact that they have like this baby at the end, and she basically dies in childbirth.
Glenda. Love you, Glenda.
It's very, very ridiculous.
I mean, but it goes along with the whole movie, though. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't think they would have survived if they had done another version of Andy, another version of him trying to get into Andy's body. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was so over.
You can only do that so many times.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and this really redid this franchise to where it was like, okay, cool, we have a restart. And to be able to do that and then be able to push forward and to new movies. And like, again, I mean, even with a TV series, like usually horror TV series do not do well.
Yeah.
But Chucky succeeded where, you know, again, where some of these other franchises do not, you know, and I think because they introduce more of the campiness.
Yeah.
You know, with like kind of like the one hit liners, you know, and all that other stuff. I mean, it's almost kind of like Chucky's like an action movie.
In a lot of ways, yeah. That explosion in the movie was very action-based. There's a lot of stunt work, I would say, in these films. One really funny part. So when Chucky like falls into the grave, and then he freaks out and as if like he's never seen a dead body before.
But it's his dead body this time. So
true. It's his dead body. So he took it a little bit more seriously. He's like, oh shit, I'm faced with my death.
And literally you're saying like legitimately like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's a realization because you know you're alive. But when you see your own rotting corpse, you know, bones and everything. Like, it's like when somebody freaks out, like, you know, he pulls the, you know, the necklace, you know, off his head and disconnects his head. He's like, oh God.
He's like, you broke my fucking neck, bitch, or something. Is that what he says? I think that's exactly what he says.
I think you're absolutely right. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's a really weird place to be. Cause like, it's like, oh man.
Yeah. That's a whole different level of meta.
Oh my gosh.
So my true crime connection, which when you listen to the episode, because I'm sure you're going to do that, you will listen to the episode, is going to be different couples. That so there's a specific couple that I'm going to be covering that they killed together, and it was Raymond Fernandez and Martha, I'm going to say this wrong, Beckery. Yeah. So they were basically a serial killer couple, and they took a bunch of women, but I'll get into that later. But that's basically my connection. We have like, there's a whole subgenre of women who fucking love serial killers for some reason.
Well, you know, I mean, there's those women who legitimately, speaking of toxic / red flags, it's the women who find serial killers that are in prison and then will actually go to the they'll go sleep with them.
Yeah. They marry them, they send them money. There's
that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only way that's acceptable is with the guy that fucking, what's his name? Luigi. He's the only one that it's okay to do that with.
I mean, technically he's not a serial killer. So, I mean, he's just a possible murderer because there's no
Say he did it, but I there's a lot of evidence floating around that he was at a McDonald's or maybe, you know, watching a movie with some famous people. So we've got lots of alibis out there. I mean, I think I basically went over everything. The only other question I had for you, because I try to put like a little game or some kind of challenge for my guest. Okay. So if you, because, you know, Bride of Chucky is super meta. If you were to recreate a kill scene from a different horror movie franchise, what would it be and who would you kill?
Ooh. What am I giving up by saying this? It's going to be used against me some years down the line.
So, okay. So let's keep it in the horror, horror sphere. So, like maybe you want to kill off Sydney. How would you do it?
Okay. All right. So we'll use a scream
scenario. If you were going to use, but you have to use the way that another horror movie killed someone.
If I was going to kill off Sydney from Scream, which she'll be in Scream 7, which is pretty crazy to think about how long she's been alive in that franchise. Outside of Dewey, by the way, I do remember his name.
Yes.
Man. Honestly, I would love to get her in the Johnny Depp scene.
Okay, so the maybe talking to her
friend in the pool or on the bed, like just swallowed up in the bed. I would love to have her be in a scene like that where she's dreaming.
Okay,
like that would be like the ultimate, because I think Sydney is such a strong, powerful character that the only way you would actually get her is if it wasn't a dream where she had no control, where she couldn't do anything.
Like, what if it was her mom in the bed?
Oh,
that I mean, drags her in.
Yeah. I would love that. Or even Billy Loomis. Like, I mean, he has another attack at her. You know what I mean? Or even watch Billy and Stu above the bed while she gets sucked down by her mom. That would be crazy. Just as watching.
Yeah.
Or hell, I mean, what about Billy's dad? Pull that out of nowhere. I don't even know if they've ever used Billy's dad. I mean, he was the one that cheated with the mom. You know, like, I mean, like, make those two the killers, you know, Billy's mom, Billy's dad and Sid's mom.
Yeah. You know?
But I think Sid's, because her mom actually died. So yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but this is Dream World. We can bring anyone. Yes. This is Freddy Krueger rules. And so that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would think it would be kind of cool if it was a situation where it was in Freddy's dream world. It's a moment where the mom and Billy's dad are the two ghost face. That'd be kind of cool.
Okay. Good nice answer.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I like to go all over the place. I'm very meta, as you'd like to say.
Yes. Well, thank you for being a guest on my podcast. It was a lot of fun talking to you about Chucky.
Yoo-hoo, I'm home. Oh. If you can't play nice, I may just have to take your toys away. I have a surprise for you. I've been thinking about what you said about wanting to get married.
Yeah?
I think it would do you good to settle down.
Babe, this is great. You won't regret it, I promise. I'm gonna treat you like a princess.
Now it's time for the true horrors. So, women who fall in love with killers. They just, you know, a girl loves the bad boy. You want to take him in. You want to tame him. We all have a little bit of Beauty and the Beast in us. And, you know, we want to tame that lion. But when that lion, like, literally has blood on its teeth and has a trail of bodies behind it, are you going to kiss that lion? Just because it's friend-shaped doesn't mean it's a friend. Just because it's husband-shaped doesn't mean it's going to be a good husband. There's a term for this, and it is hybristophilia. Hybristophilia is a condition where people are attracted to people who have committed crimes. So I'm going to give like 6 examples of this. There are more. There are lots more serial killers who have been married, who have found their true love or whatever the hell you want to call it while they're in prison. And these women have their reasons. I can't justify it. I don't understand it, but they have their reasons for falling in love with these men. So we've got Elaine Starr Burton, a 26-year-old woman that ran Manson's social media. She married Charles Manson, who was 80 at the time, and she was 26. Again, I'll mention that age. So, sorry, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. All right, so next we've got the Manson family member, Charles Denton, who was Tex Watson. He beat Manson to the altar. He married Kristen Joan Zweig, I think that's how you say it, in 1979, while serving a life sentence for 7 counts of first-degree murder. We have Carol Ann Boone, who dated Ted Bundy before he was initially arrested, and then she married Ted Bundy in a courtroom in February 1980 during the penalty phase of his trial in Florida. Boone gave birth to a daughter in 1982 and named Bundy as the father. Then we have Richard Ramirez. He was sentenced to death in 1989 on charges that included 13 murders, 5 attempted murders, and 11 sexual assaults. 7 years later, he married freelance magazine editor Doreen Leoy, who had become a correspondent with him shortly after his arrest. Lyle Menendez has been married twice while serving a life sentence in prison. First, to former model Anna Erickson, who divorced him after she found out he was writing to other women. And then to magazine editor Rebecca Sneed, who has since become an attorney. Beautiful, smart women. What the fuck? In 1989, Kenneth Bianchi married pen pal Shirley Joyce Book, who she reportedly tried to hook up with Ted Bundy before moving on to Bianchi. So he was a second go at her whole hybristophilia thing. So women falling in love with a murderer is one thing. But then there's another group of women who kill with their murderous lover. Chucky and Tiffany, if real, would have been one of these couples. While they're fictional, there are real-life serial killer couples that work together. One such couple is known as the Lonely Hearts Killers. The Lonely Hearts Killers, aka Martha Beck and Raymond Martin Fernandez, are a couple that seduced, robbed, and murdered women who placed personal ads in newspapers. Beck and Fernandez boasted to kill as many as 17 women in this manner, but evidence suggests that there may have only been 4 victims. In 1946, Fernandez found his mark in a Lonely Hearts Club. He dated the older woman until he had gained enough of her trust to loot her bank account. The next year, he took the latest in a line of victims to Spain, where she turned up dead in a hotel room. Fernandez reported to Beck's note with the intention of conning her, But after a brief affair, Fernandez and Beck apparently fell in love. When he confessed his original idea, Beck liked his scheme so much that she decided to join him. She's like, oh yeah, you wanted to murder me and steal all my money? Oh, you know what? I love you so much. You don't have to do it to me, but I'll help you do it to other women. Don't worry, I love you, babe. Over the next 2 years, Beck posed as Fernandez's sister as he seduced older women before stealing from them. By 1949, they had murdered one victim and killed another accidentally with an overdose of sleeping pills. The end came when Fernandez hooked up with a younger woman in Michigan. The woman was a bit suspicious of the brother and sister. Brother, sister, yeah, right. And although she allowed them to move into her home, wouldn't marry Fernandez immediately and provide him access to her funds. When the jealous Beck got tired of waiting, the pair killed the woman and her 2-year-old daughter and buried them in the basement. Beck, you fucked up by doing that part. Like, everything else was fucked already, but then you're gonna go kill a 2-year-old little girl? Police officers, challenged by Fernandez himself, searched the home and found the makeshift grave. Beck and Fernandez confessed readily in the belief that their lives were safe in the non-capital punishment state of Michigan. But they didn't count on being extradited to New York, where the electric chair was an option. At the last minute, they attempted an insanity defense, but were unable to convince the jury. I have zero qualms about the fact that these two people were electrocuted to death. Let's end on a high note. If you would like to collaborate on something, I would love the opportunity to connect with more people in the horror scene. I'm currently scheduling guests to be on episodes for April. I've decided to do a monthly competition where listeners leave reviews on whatever podcast platform you use and email me proof in the way of a screenshot to screamqueenpodcaster@gmail.com. Each week, I will be calling out listeners for showing their support. And monthly, I will print out all the reviews, stick them to a wall, and throw darts at them. You can catch this all on video for everyone's entertainment. This week, I did not receive any new emails with reviews. Please don't embarrass me in front of my friends. When I talk to other podcasts, I tell them what I'm doing, and, you know, they expect me to have people leaving reviews and stuff. So, you know, just please do it. Just do it, okay? Just don't make me beg. If you like what you hear and have not left a review, please, 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 I will only get noticed if you help a Scream Queen out by liking, reviewing, and subscribing. I can't stress how important it is to do these things in order for me to get some recognition for all the work I'm putting into this podcast and content I'm creating. Shout out on some of the videos specifically that I've made. So I started leaving reviews of horror movies I've seen this year thus far. On Blue Sky, Jack Pollock commented on a movie review I did for Screamboat. He said, I won't spoil it, but love your Disney Walt quote plus edition. Perfect. Thank you. I try to be creative and integrate all the little pieces of the movie that I can. I don't just go on there and talk shit about a movie, or I don't give spoilers in these either. So I did another movie review on The Monkey. I just recently saw that movie. And Needle Eye Stitchery said, was thinking of seeing this on date night this week. Thank you. So it sounds like I helped that person decide that it was a good movie to watch. And I'm glad that I could. I'm glad that I can persuade you to check something out that's definitely worth your time, even if it's not your favorite horror movie of the year. I can't say it's my favorite horror movie of the year, but I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. I really liked it. And then Yanni Canales said, I'm convinced I'm watching this. And to that, I say, yay. Good. I'm so happy that I could help. Someone that goes by BXBX1378 said, nice review. Maybe watching this tonight. That always makes me feel good that people are watching what I made. You just get like a different insight into what the movie's about if you think that's something that you actually want to watch or not. On a personal note, I'm getting a tattoo on February 27th. So for me, that is tomorrow. Because I'm a procrastinator and I'm recording this like the day before, or I'm finishing it. It's not that I'm doing it all in one day, but I'm finishing it the day before. My tattoo artist is Lou. He works in Orlando, Florida, and I'm getting the second half of my arm. He already did like the top half of the sleeve, and now we're going to work on the second half of my arm. Tomorrow's edition will be the cover art of the movie Death Proof, with all the ladies' silhouettes in the back and the car in the front. This is probably my favorite horror movie because of the amazing female characters, and I love a good woman's revenge. This is a weekly podcast with new episodes out every Thursday. All research, writing, and audio is done by yours truly. This is a one-woman show, and I'm doing my very best. I have a monthly horror event at Conduit in Orlando, Florida. My next one is March 11th, and it is going to be based on the Scream franchise. You can find me on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcaster, Blue Sky at Scream Queen Podcast, TikTok at Scream Queen Podcast, and there is a link tree that will take you to my YouTube and Facebook page as well. Romance isn't dead, just dormant sometimes. Until next time, goodbye.